And I'd like to welcome my wife, Kathy Burns, to the program.
Well, hi.
Yeah, well, hi. Fancy meeting you here.
Yes.
Hey, so I want to talk about the monks, the Buddhist monks on the Walk for Peace. And I want to start it off by playing a clip from Bhikkhu Punyakara, who is the lead monk. My impression is he's the monk who got the idea to do this 2,300-mile walk from Texas to Washington, D.C. And I love one of his quotes. He says, "So often, people gather to watch us, but all we see are their phones, their lovers." And I think it's, he didn't say it meanly at all, but I think it's really hilarious that he called people's phones their lovers.
Mm. When you stare at something with that intent, right. Look, I guess it could be seen as that.
And when you see, I mean, it's amazing how many people are lining the streets everywhere they go. Mm-hmm. And most of them, not all of them maybe, but a lot of them are filming the experience.
Yes.
With their lovers in their hands. Mm. And he says, Bhikkhu says, quote, "But when you clasp your hands together, you have to put down your phone and be in the moment."
All right.
So let me share a clip from one of his speeches real quick.
A lot of people have been thinking about peace is something that, you know, out there, somebody bring it to us. But not really. Peace is something that we have to find within, right? Without mindfulness, I don't think we'd be able to find that kind of peace. Like many talk that I ask people, have your day been peaceful at all? Maybe some people will have peace for a couple minutes, but not the whole day, not for hours. Because this is something very easy to be fragile and very hard to get, but very easy to be fragile, right? And so to practice this, they definitely have to have a mindfulness practicing in order for them to have peace. And this is something that requires us to put more effort into it. And this is everyday life practicing. Right at the beginning when I took on this journey, yearly, I just think that, you know, when we walk, hopefully that there are some people who stop by, you know, slow down for us and then look back within to find some peace. That's all I expect, but not millions and millions of people like this. This is something that is really overwhelming to me. Every state have a different kind of support, but everywhere we go, I believe that the government officials, police department, sheriff, EMS, fire department, SWAT team and everything. And of course, civilians people are coming out just because of one, the same goals and mission, peace, and then showing love and support.
Wow. I hope you appreciated the background music too. That's the best clip I could find in terms of his message.
There are times in the video when the music does swell appropriately.
It does, yeah. Yes, and the video itself. I mean, you just see again, it's as big as any 4th of July parade in terms of the number of people lining the streets, mm-hmm. And it's just it's an incredible phenomenon. And you've been thinking about it as well, Kathy.
Yes, I think you've spoken about this walk. They don't call it a march.
Right.
They call it a walk,
yep.
Because that's a peaceful thing to do on the program before. And I watched a little bit about it, not as much as you, I don't think. But I have been noticing that the more they continue on their journey, the bigger the crowds get, too.
And I wonder what they were like in Texas when they started. I really don't know. Seen that.
I may have seen some of that. Mm. But I liked how you let him speak for himself when he talked about peace is something that isn't going to be brought to us, but that you have within yourself. And I like to think that that's the way of the world. I don't think that's something that everybody has. They can develop a peace within themselves, but there is still complete chaos around them, and so those people are lacking peace in my mind and in a holistic sense.
Well, there's certainly no shortage of chaos. I read a Guardian story about the walk, and the author said, quote, "I drove hours to see the monks walking for peace. 5 minutes with them was the gift of a lifetime. I glimpsed the monks on their 2,300-mile pilgrimage across America. Their message of loving kindness had me in tears." Another person said, I'm obsessed with the monks. It's the only thing getting me through the violence of the second Trump administration. Mm. The monks and my meds.
Okay. Well.
It's just a little funny and a little sad.
Hit it from all the angles, I guess. Yeah. However you're going to get through the day. It was interesting to hear them describe how many of them had never experienced cold. And they walked through areas that were very cold.
Yes,
and
no,
there
cold.
Was sickness among them because it was new to their bodies. And I think he mentioned also they tend not to be very, you know, very large people. In other words, a little more vulnerable to the elements. And so that's an interesting part of it. And that I think that makes what they're doing more poignant, that they can't control the weather, but they're still maintaining their mission and their inner peace.
I like this this clip with this quote from a woman on a HUM News English. I'm not even sure what that is. It's a foreign station, but they interviewed people along the way, including this woman.
I have watched them for the last 2 months. I think probably 2 months ago I became aware of them. And with everything going on in our nation right now, they have provided my spiritual home. That they've given me hope.
And that's a consistent theme you hear from people.
Yes.
And, I mean, to me it says there is a deep depravity in our country right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can blame that entirely on the Trump administration.
The monk that was interviewed in the first clip that you showed also talked about his belief that people come out to see them because the people are suffering deeply. And it's possible that the suffering was in us deeply already by the time Trump came on the scene, and he fed that and made that more in people and tried to be the answer to it as well. But
that's a good point.
That's a really deep thing to notice, because people are suffering. And I've had angst, and I've had worry, and I've had concerns about family members, and I don't think I would say I was suffering, but our nation is suffering right now.
I think of some of the other marches that have had, you know, significant presence. I think of the march from Selma to Montgomery with Martin Luther King, mm-hmm. and the SNCC and the Southern Christian Leadership Council. You know, that was, I can't remember how many people, it was a good crowd of people that swelled to 25,000 people,
mm-hmm.
after 5 days and arriving in Montgomery. There was also, of course, the Gandhi Salt March, which was, I think, 2 weeks, about 240 miles, that drew huge crowds along the way. I think of the two marches that I've been involved with. Mm-hmm. And by the way, all these marches started in March, which is interesting.
You've been involved with more than two marches.
Well, more than two, yeah. But
significantly long.
Two bigger, longer ones.
Yes.
Yeah, and interestingly, all these marches started in March, whatever that's worth.
On your birthday.
Well, not all of them on my birthday, but all of them in March. The Great Peace March for Global Nuclear Disarmament, again, that was between 600 and 1,000 people. You know, did not draw this kind of attention at all.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the march I was most involved with, the Great March for Climate Action, you know, drew comparatively little attention. And so, you know,
it drew my attention.
The
route of the Dakota Access Pipeline.
So what is it about this group of a dozen or 20 or so Buddhist monks walking that is so appealing to Americans? And again, I think you're right. It's about the time and place as well. We are desperate for this sense of peace and and unity.
The other difference in a lot of the marches of today, this walk, it doesn't use chants. They don't have provocative T-shirts. They don't carry signs. They are walking in silence. In just their
single
file, which creates a lengthy visual, and frankly, helping to coordinate different events and walks and marches.
And
are important.
And they got a cute dog.
Well, I wasn't thinking about that, but I think the fact that it has such a striking difference in the sound, in the images, in the demeanor, that's what draws people's attention and and makes people stop and wonder, what can I take from this?
I think if I look at similarities between the march from Selma to Montgomery and Gandhi's Salt March and the Buddhist Walk for Peace, one similarity is there's a great deal of discipline, and it's not confrontational. Mm-hmm. Now, both the Great Peace March and the Great March for Climate Action had their elements of confrontation, not just with the audience, the people we were walking, whose towns we were walking through, but even internally as well. In fact, we had a phenomenon that one of our marchers coined as marcher mush mind.
Yes.
And I wonder about that with the Buddhist monks as well. I mean, they're walking almost 20 miles a day.
Well,
are their minds turning to mush as well?
The answer to that might be held in another statement by the monk that was in the interview, that every day he wakes up tidy, makes his bed very tidy.
I noticed that.
Kind of a thing for me. But he then thinks to himself, today is going to be my peaceful day. And then he writes it down and he reads it over and over. And that's a mantra leading into his day. And if they are all doing that, that would create a sense of uniform discipline and devotion to your mission.
Yeah. Now, I know that Bhikkhu, again, the head monk, is focused on the internalization of peacefulness. And, you know, it seems like they've been pretty careful not to call out the bigger concerns about peace in our world. But one of the monks who spoke at one of their events toward the end, I never caught his name. It wasn't listed, but he's an American Buddhist monk. And he's 81 years old. And I'll play you a clip of what he had to say.
And all of this showed to me, I have to say, that this country is suffering, though it's the wealthiest country in the world, but it's suffering from a deep inner poverty. Though it's the most powerful country in the world, supposedly, but it's suffering from a deep inner weakness. And what these monks have done is to show that our fundamental value, the value that really appeals to our deepest spirit, is that of unity, the affirmation of the inherent dignity of every human being, and the desire for all of us to live in peace, unity, and harmony. So I hope that the message of these monks will reverberate throughout this country, and not only through this country, because what this country is doing right now, cutting the funding for the United Nations, cutting the funding for UNAID, the Agency for International Development, hundreds and thousands of people are in danger of losing their lives because of the policies of this country. And so what we need is this affirmation of human unity that is going to make us a compassionate country, a country filled with the inspired by the vision of human unity and transforming our direction to promote peace, unity, and harmony throughout the world. So I hope that will be the effect, the impact of this walk. Thank you very much.
Again, I find it interesting that the monks most integrally involved with the march, I mean, this 81-year-old, he also went on to say that, I asked AI if I should join this march.
Oh, my goodness.
And it said, no, you're 81. Good advice from AI.
Okay.
But I think it's interesting that he is adding this perspective about the broader concerns about peace and unity. And, I mean, it's really impossible not to call out the current administration for really moving very strongly and aggressively away from peace and unity.
Yet he didn't say the administration. He said our nation, the policies of our nation. And that creates a oneness. And I liked his phrasing there. Also, nothing he said up until the very end sounded political at all. It just sounded like humanity and decency and love. And then, he points out that our nation has a way to go to get there or get back to the best of ourselves.
Yeah, and I wonder if you were to ask the monks, how do you feel about nuclear weapons? how do you feel about the war in Gaza and Ukraine? I wonder what they would say. I mean, I know their focus is on internal peace, but I think it's really important to recognize that you won't, that's a great starting point, mm-hmm. but you're not going to get an end to war or an end to conflict without policy changes as well, in my opinion.
Maybe that's why they are having such a deep and effective impact on people, because their message is so simple. It is inner peace permeating out in hopes to make a larger peace.
But is it too simple?
I think it's their efforts are not wasted, and I think
Absolutely.
It's up to the rest of us to give context to what they're calling for, the need for peace.
And they have had some, there have been some protests. I mean, not many, if I can see. I mean, again, millions and millions, literally, millions and millions are turning out to greet them, and probably tens of millions more mm-hmm. are following them through social media and whatnot. But, you know, they are getting a few protests, but they tend to be from very extreme evangelical perspectives that believe that only their narrow way, their narrow religious path is the only way, and that mm-hmm. Buddhists and even other Christians who don't see the same way are on the wrong path.
They're going to burn in hell.
Well,
I think I heard some protesters to them say yeah. that at one point, which
I want to see what happens next, because I think this should continue. I think there should be more of this. Maybe not, and maybe an ecumenical coalition of religious leaders should stage some kind of a similar act of sacrifice. I mean, it's a very sacrificial thing to mm-hmm. walk that far in those kind of conditions. Mm-hmm. And maybe something like that could continue to move this conversation forward about the importance of inner peace. And maybe through that effort, people can begin to tie it to the need for, you know, greater changes in the world that are going to lead to a more peaceful global community. Kathy, thanks for joining me for this conversation.